All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network.
You try to build the illusion.
This is very nice, Jared. What do we got on tap today?
It's a new track from Laurel. It's called Just So You Know. It just dropped today. Local girl. She's been on the podcast before. She works at the Pint sometimes with Rick. And yeah, it's a dope song. Good song for the weekend.
Very nice. I like it. It's a nice vibe.
New summer track? Huh? Song of the summer.
I actually need to write this down. Who is this? It's the second time I've heard
Laurel.
Like
Laurel.
Laurel.
L-A-U-R-E-L. E-L-L-E.
Uh-oh, say Whoa. That again. Sorry.
E-L-L-E. Laurel. Two words.
Can I get her on Spotify? Or
you sure can. Music? She's available everywhere.
Whoa.
All right, we're doing that right now.
We'll include the links on the article for the podcast.
The system works. You play local music. Now I'm going to subscribe to this music.
So we've got some new voices here on the, not new voices, I guess, but just new to the podcast this week. As always, the ON Radio podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. You can visit our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant on Twitter, at Sherwood Ford. And on Instagram at SherwoodFord_TheGiant. Chris, this weekend you were at Sherwood Ford. How was that?
Great. This is so strange.
Yeah, go ahead. Make fun
we'll
of
get
me.
To that. We'll get to that. But Sherwood Ford was great this weekend. Dan and myself and my wife, Caitlin, shout out to Caitlin, went out to Sherwood Ford this weekend to their Adopt Petathon that we've been promoting all month of April. They had a ton of people out adopting pets. They had a ton of dogs. I really, like, we kind of joked about it all month long about what it would be like. And it was a lot bigger than I expected. And kudos to them. And kudos to Second Chance Animal Rescue, SCARS, of the city. And I think a lot of pets were adopted that day. And it was awesome.
David told me the number and I forgot, but it's like 40-some, I want to say.
Yeah,
it was a lot. And yeah. Very good initiative.
I got there shortly after 1 when it started, and there were lots of pets, but Dan got there maybe 1:30, closer to 2.
Yeah.
If you would have gotten there any later, there would have been no dogs and cats like to pet.
Well, yeah, when I walked up, there was dogs walking out that had been adopted already. And as I would go to pet dogs while I was visiting, people would come over to me and tell me that they've already claimed that dog. And so there was a little bit of territorial battle going on, but it was good.
Is that why there isn't a dog here now? I was kind of hoping I was going to come in.
Oh, man.
And like, nation already adopted, a nation office pet of some sort. So I was coming in a little excited today.
Nation dog. The temptation was real, though. Like, how do you not adopt? There are so many bonded pairs. How do you not walk away with two dogs? So easy.
Yeah, it was. And then they also had kittens there, too. There was about, I don't know, 10 or 12.
10-ish.
Which were just adorable. I should say cats as well. But
I love animals, but I do not trust cats. I think cats have a hidden agenda.
They're evil.
I think they really want to kill their owners.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but there were these two kittens, and they were named Bacon and Eggs. And they had an adorable description with them. Hey, one of them liked
I'm sure they're cute.
One of their hobbies was to watch Netflix. There's no evil behind
that.
Yeah,
well, they plot to murder their master.
That's when they're young.
When they're young, they're innocent. As they get older, they start to flip, and then they start to take over. They're going to try and take over the world at one point. We're not even going to see it coming.
Now, there's some history here with me and cats, and this is why I have this beef. While I was young, going to Saskatchewan all the time, Mortlach, Saskatchewan, my cousin had a cat named Blackie. Blackie was a beauty, I thought. Blackie would go out and hunt all night and just go and you know, crush mice all the time. And like, I was like, wow, this is a cool cat. And like, it was always so nice in the house. Then, you know, I'm packing up one day to come back home. Go back. Blackie's on her perch staring out the window. She always does, just keeping an eye on her territory. Go to pet her goodbye. And she's purring. And then all of a sudden, she attacks me and just like scratches up my face. Out of nowhere, like I was petting her and she was purring and then went to a straight attack mode. I'm like, I can never trust a cat again.
To play devil's advocate, and I'm totally pro dog and anti cat as well, but there are just as many dogs that will easily attack you out of nowhere for no reason.
I'm yet to be attacked, so that's why dogs are still in my good books, and I don't think they have a hidden agenda.
Fair.
All this cats and dog conversation is brought to you by Sherwood Ford. If you want to talk to them about maybe getting a car or a truck, give them a call at 587-860-1538.
I'll jump in with a testimonial here. I'm the proud driver of the Nation truck. Beautiful rig. Sherwood Ford had some great charity initiatives like the one we just talked about, another one coming up where I think the truck's going to be racing or something. Mm-hmm.
Is it racing an Escort?
it'll dust an Escort. That EcoBoost engine's got some zip. Anyways, so we gave the truck to them. So they have the truck right now. So they gave me, once again, like, hashtag blessed. I get to drive a 2019 Mustang GT. Chris is shaking his head. I don't know why.
It's just unfair. It's not unfair, but I'm jealous.
I'm a taller guy, so it's a little bit of a struggle game. But man, this thing is a fun car to drive. This thing's got 460 horses, and like, it was funny. Like, I go to pick it up, and they're like, they give me the keys. They're like, make sure you have fun with it. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, I'm not getting any speeding tickets. Like, no, just like have some fun with it. I'm like, whatever. So I get in it. I'm just like driving it for a couple of days, but all of a sudden I'm like, I'm gonna have some fun in this thing. And all of a sudden you just like, you know, you put it in like the sport exhaust mode, and you floor it, and this thing just sounds like, just, I don't know, just like musky, like
that works
like
well.
Midlife crisis man, like power Tim Allen grunt, like
it works well in this weather.
As you can see, if you look at the fishtailing, took the traction control off, even though they told me not to, and I've been fishtailing. It's been fun. It's been a while since I've been able to do that.
At the event, all the Sherwood Ford guys were like, "Oh, does Jay miss the Nation truck?" And I was like, "Hell no! You see the car he's driving? I'm sure he misses it, but I'm sure he's having the time of his life."
Yeah, it's like the only thing I am a truck guy. I like being up. Up above, you kind of feel like you kind of feel safe up there, and then in the car you're like down underneath, and you see the truck. You're like, oh my god, I'm so low. But like, no, it's this thing is a fucking missile.
Have you taken it up and down White Ave yet?
No, I took it to a show and shine at a Tim Hortons on the north end. I just like stood out, leaned up against it amongst my other car owners,
probably
just
kind of
stared at each other. Yeah, rocking that. Well, I've been calling it the Blue Dragon.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
fair enough.
So anyways,
So I mentioned, and we've just kind of rolled into it, and I love it. We've had a weird week here at the HQ. Jared, you've been down and out with a cold or a flu or whatever. Bag Milk also MIA due to sickness, and Coom is where's Coom?
I don't even know, in the States someplace.
So he's in
LA.
So today's episode, we have the Nation Chris, we've got Rick, we've got the Squire, Jay Downton, and then myself, the Nation Dan.
It's just been such a weird week, very quiet week at the office. Jared came out from the hole in his house to say hi to us and to help us with this podcast, and he looks deathly ill, and he just coughed. I'm very afraid of him. And now, to end the weird week, I'm holding my microphone. I'm sitting in Bag Milk's seat. I don't have a mic stand. I feel very uncomfortable right now. I'm looking across from Rick. This isn't how things usually go.
Am I sitting in your chair?
Yeah, that's fine.
So my chair is your chair.
Yeah.
But he's technically in the host's chair.
But he's not doing
I'm not hosting. No.
Well, I can't tell.
See, that's why
I can't tell which one of you guys is hosting.
All right, well, there we go. So,
all right,
so
shots fired.
It makes sense that this week would be weird at our HQ because it's been a weird week for Oilers news. The GM watch is on day, 465 of the run here?
Well, I think it's, to be fair, I think it started the day after the season ended.
Yeah, no,
you
that's
can
fair.
Look, but you really can't talk to anybody else. So yeah, I think if we're being fair, it started the day after the season ended.
So let's kind of recap what's happened this week so far. The rumblings started earlier this week that the Oilers, or actually I guess it started when Vegas was eliminated, but that the Oilers were not able to talk to McCrimmon, and they still hadn't talked to McCrimmon as of, I believe it was Wednesday morning.
But now we know why.
And then the news came out that he was no longer an option for the Oilers. Everybody panicked, freaked out, thought that there was surely a reason that that had happened because of the Oilers doing something. And then within, 15 minutes, Vegas had announced that they had moved McCrimmon up to the GM position. And McPhee is now the president of hockey ops. And so they protected their guy from coming to Edmonton or Seattle.
So the way I see that happening is I know right away they said no one's allowed to talk to anybody on our staff till the season's over, until we okay. And that's fair. I get that. Now, in hindsight, we kind of know why. I'm be pretty certain that he sat down with his guys and went, okay, guys, listen, this is why we're not allowing anybody to take any interviews. When we're done, we have a new proposal for everybody, and I want to be able to give you my proposal first. And if you say no, that's fine. Open the door, do what you got to do. But wait till it's over. Wait till you talk to me. Let me present myself, and then we'll go from there. And obviously, I don't see anybody wanting to change organizations. If you've been there from day one and you've been the number two, the obvious next spot is to take number one. So I see, yeah, that was just a Vegas thing, and I don't see anything again. There's no anti-Oiler issue in this.
Yeah, it just sucks because McCrimmon was one thing we were all hopeful for over the last couple of months, and it was just ripped away. I have no bad feelings towards Vegas about how they handle it. I think they handled it well.
I have bad feelings because they're not the Oilers.
Well, I'm upset because I invested a lot of energy in cheering against Vegas so the McCrimmon opportunity could be a reality.
And that's fair. I get that. And that's part of it. So as fans, that's going to happen because we don't have the insight of what's going on inside the building. It sucks. But at the same time, why or what has he done that made us want him so bad? Like, I get why, but everyone sits there and picks apart, hey, what has he done? What has he done? What has he done? The closer he got to being number one, people started telling you why you shouldn't be there anymore.
In reality, though, all these GM candidates, we can take a guess and we can look at their record, but we don't really know how much input they've had into those moves and how much, like maybe McCrimmon, I like McCrimmon, we talked about this last week, for his, the environment he was working in the past 2 years and how successful Vegas has been. But maybe we said maybe he had nothing to do with it. Maybe he was just like a fly on the wall during the whole thing and he has no actual skills that would help us. We don't know that. We could say the same with all these candidates.
That is fair. And so to that point as well, talking about the other candidates, I was just on Sportsnet last night during the playoff game. They mentioned and kind of confirmed what Dusty has been saying, Dusty Nielsen of Oilers Nation has been saying that Keith Gretzky is out. He is not on in the list of people that we're considering.
Did you mean to say Mark Hunter?
No, Mark Hunter was just lower on their list than previously believed.
So they said Keith Gretzky is out.
Yeah, they said Keith Gretzky is not getting an indication that he's
Things saying that he's closer than we think.
Yeah, and that's fair. And then the last point that they put out there was the name Ken Holland, and they said that it's kind of his job to give up now.
And I'm okay with him as a Poho, but I don't want to see him as the GM. If he's a Poho, that's fine. I want to see a younger, more progressive guy as the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ken Holland was the in the Toronto system, right?
Nope.
Detroit.
That was Hunter. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I'm this. And even with Holland, like you said, older system, he was ranked, I think the Hockey Writers, or maybe it was Sportsnet, he was ranked like the 28th GM out of 30 guys like 2 years ago.
Who was 30?
Couldn't tell you. So
Chiarelli was 67th for the record.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know too much about Holland, but I read that and I was like, ugh. And then I was just, you look at Detroit the last few years.
The biggest hate about Holland right now is that he kind of blew apart their cap space too.
Yeah, it's just the salary cap.
Obviously, we're Oilers fans, so we don't really watch other teams as in-depth as we do with the Oilers. I don't know exactly how he went to blow apart that cap space. Like, if he brought in a couple of bad contracts or just, like, I mean...
No, I think
you listen on the radio and there's all sorts of, like, this is a bad contract, that's a bad contract. Okay, I get that. And so I'm not against bringing him here, but like I said, I want him in a Poho overseeing type of role as opposed to a GM, but... From what you hear on the internet, it still says that he really wants to be a GM.
I think the thing with Ken Holland and the knock against Ken Holland has just been he shows loyalty to his guys, which, I mean, not a bad thing, but he shows loyalty in the form of giving them an extra $1 million, that kind of thing.
I think like Chiarelli with Lucic?
Well, I think all GMs do that. It's just that's a really big change right now, because I think we've talked about this before where it's going to be like you go all in on the guy on his outside of his ELC, so you get him at 8 years at whatever, and then at 28, 29 is when you have to start doing the business thing and take your heart out of it, because to throw another 8-year contract at most guys at 28, the last 4 or 5 are not going to be great years. So if you want to stay ahead of the curve, you kind of have to be the heartless one who says, thanks for everything, we had a great 11 years, but peace out. We're moving on to younger guys.
Yeah, the 8-year deal at 29, 28 now is not
dangerous.
It's a death kiss. Like it's not good, but the market is making it so other like teams are offering it.
And you
actually
feel
have
like
to be competitive.
You feel like
but
you have to do it. You feel like you have to give it to your
I know.
Guys.
It's got to be super front loaded. So
like, we always become be there in 6 years. Like teams and ownership and GMs always become their own worst enemy. And then we have to have another lockout and be like, okay, well now we have maybe shave that 8 years to 5 years and cap it to this and that. But yeah, those deals aren't very rarely will pay dividends.
Another little tidbit that came out is that Sean Burke is being considered for something within the organization.
I don't
believe it's the GM, but
apparently
his interview blew the doors off of them and they're going to give him something in the organization. So
I think that's a guy who can, so we've already heard that scouts were supposed to be let go early, and then I think Bobby didn't want to do it because he didn't want to be the guy to do it, I guess. He wanted to leave it to the GM, which I thought was kind of stupid. But I think there's some definite pro scouts that are out the door, whether they resign, quote unquote, or you fire them, or you reposition them to the hot dog vendor, or whatever the fuck you want to do with these guys. He is a guy that you can go put in there on the pro side of things. And then I like Keith as a guy on the amateur side of things. And then really at that point, your GM, we could technically do it. Because if you're listening to good advice, it's going to make your decision a lot better. Whereas Chiarelli had not the greatest advice, and then he was not horribly smart himself. So
I have a question. Sean Burke, former goaltender.
Yes.
How many goaltender GMs have there been, and have they been any good?
I was also thinking that.
Hextall
was
up in the air.
He was okay.
Snow?
Depends on whose perspective. I think Yashin's still getting paychecks, isn't he? He thinks he's a great guy.
Yeah.
DiPietro, I'm sure he's still getting a paycheck, too.
Was Holland a goalie?
I don't think so.
Honestly, I couldn't.
You might
want
to search that. I have a feeling he was.
I think there's
no... I can see him in some brown pads in my head.
I
don't know why.
I don't think positional matters as much.
I'm just posing the question.
No, I know, and that's fair. I just like when you look at football, your offensive linemen are often your smartest guys on the field, and then you got your quarterbacks, and
those guys got to work hand in hand together. They're reading the same.
Yeah, and so those are the ones that end up getting the jobs at the end of the day.
But. And it works in hockey too, though. You go around and look at the easiest way for us to look at is like look at the guys at the boys on the bus who are still out there doing things. The upper end guys aren't. Charlie Huddy, still out there. Steve Smith, still out there. Kelly Buchberger, he's around somewhere. You'd look at it like one of the up and coming coaches out there. Maybe he wasn't a part of that era of the Oilers, but Rocky Thompson. None of these guys were, upper echelon players. They were all the character third line, fourth line type of guys. And I think you do learn a lot more from there. You learn how to make a team for one, because the rest of the guys are almost giving it to him. You learn a lot more that way.
I think it's been almost 15 years since Burke has played in the NHL. So there's 15 years of learning.
It's been that long?
Yeah, 2000.
It's been a long time, man.
Well, wow. 13 years. Yeah. So that's lots of time to kind of get the goaliness out of you and learn more about the game.
So you as a goalie admit you have to get the goaliness out of you.
No, but if you think that him being a goalie is going to influence the way he thinks.
I gotta jump in here. I just gotta give myself a fucking shout out here. I was right. Ken Holland was a goalie.
There you go. Yeah, nice.
Thank you. Told you, brown pads. I can see it.
Rick mentioned good teams. And you know who has a good team? Sherwood Ford. Sherwood Ford, the Giant, has one of the best teams to be able to... Chris, stop giving me that look. Sherwood Ford is Bank amazing.
They have the best teams too, and you stopped. What do they have the best teams to?
To sell you a car. Or sell you a truck. Or sell you whatever you need.
Or adopt a pet.
Or adopt a pet. Amazing initiative by them. I don't know if you guys have seen it on social media. If you follow at Sherwood Ford on Twitter, you may have seen it. There's been a recent uptick in the number of Photoshops surrounding this podcast and Sherwood Ford as well. At McTuft one.
Tuft, he's been active.
Did a nice little Photoshop of all of us, all of the boys in a 1986 Ford Escort GT. So hopefully that... hopefully that turns into something.
Jay was way in the back of that
Jay
one.
Was a little bit of an afterthought on that one, but that's okay. He was just in the back window, kind of chilling out.
I was just happy to be aboard.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
Also, shout out to Melanie at MelFisk5, who did a painting, a very talented painting of the Nation truck, tweeted it.
I was going to let the driver of the truck mention that.
No, yeah, I've been, I gave her a shout out, and we've been talking a little bit on the social medias, but yeah, no, amazing painting. It's now the, I don't know if that's my background.
Is it an actual painting or is it just
something
she did
on the computer?
It is.
I had to initially, I was like, is that a painting? You have to like zoom in. It is a painting.
Like,
we're looking at it right now. This is a great visual medium.
That's not just done on the computer. Like that's
it's actually painted.
That looks painted
with a hand.
Yeah. So
a
like
hand on a brush.
Like,
well, how do we get that thing in here?
And the detail is amazing. Like,
how do we get that in here?
I think we gotta find a way to get that and frame it.
Well, I think that's got to go in the podcast room if it ever gets built.
If it is getting built, I went down in the basement and I saw that there's been room reallocated to the podcast. There's some other things happening as we build out the kitchen for Little Brick.
Trust us, we hear the podcast room getting built every single day from the upstairs.
Yep.
I'll trust you.
It's a thing.
Yep.
It will be a thing that we can operate in at some point in the early summer, I really believe.
Ooh. Perfect. Well, at this rate, who knows what the early summer is. Yeah.
Weather-wise, we may
I'm
never
still
see
watching
summer.
Snowdrop.
But yeah, if you want to talk to our friends over at Sherwood Ford, that's at Sherwood Ford on Twitter, at Sherwood Ford _the Giant on Instagram. Or give them a call at 587-860-1538.
Okay, before we get off this GM thing, I got one more issue to bring up. Chris, you said that when it came to McCrimmon, you couldn't quite get behind him just because you weren't sure if he had much to do with things behind the scenes, correct?
No, I said
in Vegas?
I said the opposite of that, but I'm just saying that we really don't know.
Okay, perfect. How do we know then that Keith Gretzky was 100% on board with any of the Chiarelli moves?
We don't.
That's it. Yeah.
But it's
so
the guilt by association.
Should we not take our foot off the shit a little bit then and give the guy a little bit of space because he wasn't an old boys guy?
It's the
he
regime.
Has only been here for a bit. And I think we've all worked under bosses who we have put in our 2 cents and the boss overruled, said, no, we're going to go this direction. And then you're like, well, if you want to keep your job, you start working in the direction
of
the boss.
I love all of my bosses, and I've never had any issue with any boss.
You're 100%. You're 100% right, though, and that goes the same with anybody else. We as fans, as like we're glued in on online and stuff, but in reality, we have no tell on what these guys actually have to
offer.
Perfect,
because I have been quite vocal on Twitter in the last day or two or three now.
You're on Team Bob. It's quite evident.
Just trying to say, you know what? Let's not shit on these guys right now already. Like, I mean, if in that position, do you care what's said on Twitter and out there in the fandom world? Because if you do, like we say, players don't want to come here because the fans can get on them. Well, then why the hell would a GM want to come here? Because the fans are going to get them just as bad.
But I don't think that it's a surprise to any GM that's possibly coming in for this job.
Or a player then.
That it is toxic.
Or a player
as
then.
Right now.
It's passionate.
No, I know, but it's
you make
but
two good trades that we're going to carry around on on our damn shoulders.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think that there, I believe, and I mentioned it this week in the mailbag, that I think that this job right now could be looked at as career suicide. how many people
exact opposite.
But how many? I agree with that. No, I agree that the other side, the flip side always is
every job you could be a hero. Suicide, then look at Chiarelli.
But look at the Oilers, all the management types, all the coaches that have come through here since the decade of darkness plus two. And where have they ended up? I think the only two people that we can say were successful when they moved on is Tom Rennie, who replaced Bob Nicholson.
Well, he went to Team Canada, so yeah, that's fair.
Todd Nelson is now an assistant coaching coach in Dallas. Yeah. Think of anybody else.
You have to say Aikens didn't do a great. Oh well, it was different. That was a weird situation. He's more of a veteran type of coach with a rookie team and a rookie coach and a rookie GM. That was just a bad situation. But he's still out there doing stuff. He's still on the cusp
for sure.
But we look at some of the, like I brought it up before. You look at like a Charlie Huddy, who was a part of the Oilers coaches.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
He's out there doing stuff. Steve Smith, he left Carolina to go to Buffalo because they wanted him. They wanted to bring him in to help with Rasmus Dahlin.
Maybe you're an optimist and have confidence.
Definitely an optimist. Yes,
I respect your optimism. I really do, and I fucking drink the Kool-Aid on everything.
Yeah,
but like, I just need to see positive shit happen now. Trust me, the nation has been around for what, 11 years,
just about,
and we have been professionals at finding the silver lining and all the shit we've been handed to us for so long. Where now I'm actually just like, I need to see some things as a stop and stop believing that everything we're doing is right. I was trying to find when it initially was announced, even though my heart dropped to my stomach, that maybe we do want Brendan Manning. I was trying to have that argument in my head.
I said he's going to come in here. But that needs to stop.
I shouldn't even have to fucking ask myself that question.
Well, we were trying to make excuses for Pete. Pete's gone. The cancer is gone.
Is it though?
Yes.
You think it's all removed?
No.
I think. Sure. I think where the cancer got spread to has been removed. I don't think the nucleus or the core of where it started has been.
I think we've established that Nicholson is the nucleus after his...
And he's a brand guy. So yes, he was wrong in not bringing in a hockey ops guy to begin with. He brought in a guy who was hockey ops and GM. And then he needed to be quicker on the trigger of getting rid of this guy. So instead of whenever he went, he should have gone at the beginning of last season.
So listen,
and he's admitted that he needs to be quicker on the trigger on the hockey ops side of things.
So listen to this. Elliot Friedman was on Tim and Sid this last week. I'm reading a tweet from Christian Pegnani who quoted it. And he said, Friedman said that from the beginning, the Oilers wanted to promote Gretzky, but they're fearful of the reaction.
I think they need to be. I agree with them. I agree. The optics of that are horrible.
Yeah. So what if they've had their decision made this whole time?
All these guys reporting that we've gone through, you know, all these interviews and seconds and thirds, they would have been, somebody would know out there that we have not been doing the job properly.
Well, it could just be for show.
But
I think they've gone out. You don't hold meetings like this and interviews like this if you're not actually listening to the
guys. Dusty mentioned this this week on the on his Inside the Nation on Monday that he has been hurt or he has heard or he has reason hearing. To believe that the team has been floating out false rumors. To try and throw off the scent, they have been.
Like, look at the fucking media puppets, and you can assume who I'm talking about that have been pro fucking Keith Gretzky, trying to steer the narrative and get us to tilt over. Like,
well,
I'm concerned it's a foregone conclusion, and it is circumstantial. Like, I feel bad for Keith Gretzky because the fans don't want him to get promoted because
his last name.
His last name, but it doesn't even matter if it was Gretzky. It could have been freaking Keith Handyman, whatever.
That's a middle name.
Sure. It doesn't matter if they're promoting from within, and the within is rotten. It looks bad. Doesn't matter who it is.
I agree with the optic, but I think almost every team out there in this situation wants to be able to promote from within. Every company
wants to. Vegas was super pumped to promote McCrimmon, but McCrimmon... Why is it?
Because they're so new and young, and they're only 2 years in. No one's really successful. Had time to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're successful, so it makes sense.
2 years in, the narrative is there, but
it doesn't matter.
And they got...
You know what? They're better than us.
Yep, 100%.
They're fucking better than us. We need to be better than us, so we got to get rid of the shit that's the past, and we need to put in new, proper, winning... Like I said, the whole culture needs to change. I think, like I said, we could tell like the room was trying to, they kept saying that they're playing for themselves or playing for themselves. I think they detached themselves from, try to detach themselves from the organization because it is a mess up there.
No,
because
Nurse even said earlier this week that he's got an eye on this, on what's going on right now too.
Of course he does. But
so you can't separate yourself from the organization if you're not like fully
but
invested.
But players are going to say
happen.
The right thing.
Well,
they're going to play that game.
Speaking of players saying the right thing, this week, did everybody hear Milan Lucic's comments?
Thank Lord
Thank
I
God.
Did.
Hey.
Yeah. So Lucic was on a Vancouver radio station talking about the possibility of coming back to Vancouver. And when
you know
I say
that,
back,
do you know how that was brought up at all?
I don't.
No, okay.
I didn't. I
know
hear
we
the
all
full
heard
interview.
We all heard the quote. Or whatever.
So I got I got some quotes from it. So speaking to the fact or the question of would he ever come back to Vancouver? Vancouver being his home, so coming back to his home. It's definitely something that potentially could happen. Whatever happened from 2011 and that type of stuff, it's all water under the bridge. It's still a place I love to go home to. It's still a place I love to visit. So that's reaction to that.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, it's nice that he said that. It doesn't mean that it can actually happen.
It's weird that he said that. It's weird that he's gone that far.
Well, okay.
Saying that.
I'll tell you,
he's got 2 to 3 to 4 years left on his contract. The trade's not. It's really weird to see that.
I will tell you why I think
if
it's
there's
weird
not
that
something
he
out there, if you, there's not something out there.
Do you remember about when he was playing for Boston? And this is in the off season, and he got into like, or it might have been in season, but they were in Vancouver, and he got into like a incident outside of a bar, and he was getting heckled or some kind of thing, and he obviously took matters in his own hands.
Was
like,
it playoffs?
That was after the Cup final,
which is what Lucic does. But the result of that, like there was comments saying how he would never want to play in his hometown. Because of that incident.
He said he was disgusted and outraged with Vancouver fans.
Man, what did we do to Mike Comrie on the way out the first time? And it was open arms when he came back.
Yep.
Fans.
I wasn't on the anti-Comrie.
No, but we're a little more even keel, whereas there's a lot of people out there who want the worst. You read it, you hear it, you try not to be a part of those people, you try and, now I have to be a little more objectional every time I talk. Because I don't want to be one of those guys. You're going to be brought back in. Like the Cup loss is well done. They would love to have him come in and say, you know what? I'm here to make sure little Peterson kid over here doesn't get beat up.
I hope
they
so.
They would love him for that.
I just find it weird that Lucic made those comments. Like, sure, he may be referring to like after his contract's up in Edmonton and he still has some career left. He could go.
God.
Is there some?
Well, no, you never know. But maybe that's what he was thinking. But I just find it so strange that he made those comments, knowing what the Edmonton media.
I hope he's playing a game. I really hope it does actually lead to that. Because like, trust me, I was on Team Lucic. Like, I really wanted it to work out because I love that style of player. But it's not working here. So if we can get rid of him and have him maybe flourish somewhere else, whatever, I'm willing to accept that. But I don't mind obviously the rumors are saying if this is a legitimate trade, we'd have to take back Louis Eriksson.
I think that name just popped out because people went through, okay, we got to go contract for contract.
It needs to
blah, 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 blah.
It needs to be.
Hey, listen, I do that right away because Eriksson's got 1 or 2 years less. Yeah. He's got no trades, not no movements. He's got no trades, which means you can save $1.02 million or whatever the hell and ship him down to Manningville.
Yep. Bury him.
So those comments were pedestrian, I guess, mm-hmm. in comparison to this next quote. But first, speaking of getting rid of stuff, how about getting rid of those nasty smells you have in your house, your home, your car, your equipment, your locker room, wherever you are? Our friends at thepogstore.com will be able to help you out with that. They have a new product. It's a new-ish product. We've been talking about it for a little bit on the podcast, but it is a unit that can be portable. It's rechargeable. It gives you 8 to 10 hours of battery life. It's been used by, when I said locker rooms, I meant it. It's been used by multiple NHL teams, multiple NFL teams. The product, what it does is it attacks your odors, your mold, your mildew, the bacteria, staph, and MRSA. And it eats that stuff up and spits out clean, fresh air afterwards.
Great ad read.
Thanks, bud.
You know what's cool about that, actually? Pog has some photos of... there's a Canucks player specifically, I can't remember. But in the background, it's a post-game interview. In the background, there's two Pogs like sitting in the stalls, and it's like great branding. It's perfect.
And it helped you with your equipment as well.
Yeah, it did. And actually, I was going to mention that I no longer am using it for my equipment because I haven't played in 2 months because it's summertime.
Yep.
So I moved it into my vehicle.
Oh.
So I just turn it on for the 1 hour or 3 hours when I park it.
You park it and you leave it?
And it smells fresh.
Perfect.
It's great.
So if you want to find out more about the Pog, you can visit thepogstore.com. They're on Twitter and Instagram at thepogstore as well.
If only we can install a Pog in like Oilers HQ.
That's fair.
And to clean up the fucking stench that is in there right now.
Yeah, that's fair. So with Lucic's comments, the thing that I think set a lot of people off was his comments towards the Canucks specifically. And his quote was, "I think the Canucks right now are a very exciting team. I love what Jim has done as far as building a team within and developing players. I think Travis had done a really good job as well from the coaching standpoint. It's an exciting team. It's a growing team. You never know what the future has in store for you."
He's just planting a seed for Canucks fans.
And this takes us back to last year when I know a couple of people reported that he had asked out. I know we had heard through our little small group of people like to tell us stories that we had heard that they would request that they want out.
Yep. And then when his agent came out and denied that, everybody
just
took Frank Cervelli out to the woodshed.
No, Milan did not ask for it. Well, of course, Milan didn't ask for it. You did.
Yeah.
Like, stop hitting the loopholes with it. Well, everybody knows he wants a fresh start. Why would you want to be here at this? He has more money than he knows what to do with. At this point in your career, I'm sure you want to make some money, but enjoy your life too. So
yeah, he's not having fun.
He may have like a 10-team list that he's willing to go to, but I'm going to tell you that list is probably 25 because he'd like to get out, get a fresh start. And yeah, they may not be in the list, but if you went up and said, "Hey guy, this isn't on your list, but
you'll get out of Edmonton."
Yeah, so I think he jumps on it.
Going around the table, do we think Lucic is still here at the start of the season? Start with you, Jay.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No, I think...
like, unless we... like, it's... can we move him? I guess, but
Bad contract. We've seen so many bad contracts moved in the NHL. Yep. Yeah, it can be done.
But are the Canucks better with Lucic or with Louis Eriksson?
I'm not saying he's going to the Canucks per se.
But just like in that instance. Like,
so this is an opening for us. Because before, we've been talking about packaging a prospect or somebody with Lucic to unload his contract. And all of us around the table have been totally against it.
Only if it was bad. We've always said you could go bad contract for bad contract.
No, but it's going to be like Puljujarvi or somebody.
Well, then go bad contract for bad contract. So we take our bad one.
Oh, I know.
And we ship it over there.
Because we've never really had an opportunity like that. Now this is an opportunity. It's an opening with the Eriksson thing. And now we're seeing it. And I hope our managers see it.
I don't mind the Eriksson thing because there is potential offensive upside. But my question to you, because we just did the round table, if Lucic is staying, if he's going to be here or not. If we trade him with a prospect, which one would you want to package him up with?
Again, it depends on your
return. What would you pick?
Because I want the best return possible, 2020 first round pick.
Okay. Wow.
But I think we leverage that for something else. But I'm saying like current prospect, like in the system.
Like,
he has to be a defenseman.
So what would come back?
Yeah, which one? You got to name one.
Well, this is going to sound Don Cherry-ish of me, but I like the Jones and I like Bear, not because they're North American, but I just kind of like that. So I want to keep those two. Bush isn't going anywhere. So it's really Lajesson or Pearson.
I think if you're talking a prospect, just from everything I've read from the Oilers side of things, I think Maximoff would be the guy that goes. I think he's had a great
we got Sam
Runkov
coming
in. A great season. And the organization just doesn't, like, Stauffer put out his tweet of his top 20 prospects, and Maximoff wasn't even on it when he had more points than like Hero? Half the guys he listed.
Yeah. Who do you think?
I'm okay with those. I'm okay with Lajesson.
Pearson.
Yeah. when I think of them bundling up Lucic to get rid of cap space, I think of like Puljujärvi Yamamoto, which I'm fearful of. I absolutely don't want, but that's
I don't think there's much worth in Puljujärvi right now.
Yeah. I think
I'm so thankful for, because I want to see what he can do next year.
I agree.
So I'm glad he's almost broken goods right now.
But what would we get in return for Lucic? Like a pick or something? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. First of all, you go back on. So if it's for Louis Erickson, then
straight up, that's a one for one.
But that still screws us. Sure, there's potential offensive upside, but
I'm saying if we're packaging up a prospect, we're essentially getting a fourth round pick or something in return.
Yeah, but we have $6 million in the bank to.
Yeah. So who are we giving up? Who do you want to give up as a prospect to get Lucic off the books?
Anybody from the Condors except for Bear, Jones. Yamamoto, Jones, and
McLeod's down there now.
Benson,
McLeod, Benson, and not Maximov, the other
Gambardella?
Guy. No. Well, Maximov, I almost wouldn't want to give up.
He's not there though. Samarukov.
Yeah, Samarukov.
No. He's still playing.
Samarukov.
No. You don't move that guy.
He's still in the OHL.
You don't move that guy.
Willed his team into the second or the third round now.
You're right. It has to be one of the defensemen, but I think I would trade Bear.
See, I think if I'm taking on Lucic's contract, I would take Bear. I wouldn't settle for anything less.
We've got our offensive right-handed defenseman now in the system. It's not Bear, it's Bouchard. I think so.
You can have two, but I know.
Well, I know you can have two.
I get what you mean.
But like we're deep on D right now.
Yep.
I think, and Bear, I think this season he's taken a step back because we're not hearing his name as much as we did before.
He was hurt early, and I think he was okay. He's had some injury problems, and he's been okay, and he's been on a steady upcline.
Yeah.
But it's because of Caleb Jones that you're really not hearing him, because Caleb's stealing on Thunder.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, which is great. So I think that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to get rid of Puljujärvi because I really want Jesse Puljujärvi to be an awesome Edmonton Oiler.
And dude, you can get him for so cheap. Like, obviously, he needs a contract right now, right? So if I'm his agent... Man, if you're his agent right now, do you only take a 2-year because you think, listen, he's going to prove himself? Or are you sitting there, do you have any doubt in your mind and go, okay, well, if we can get a 6-year out of you right now, we jump on it because that's guaranteed money.
You think
the
Oilers would offer a 6-year deal?
I'm just speculating here. And I've 6, probably not. I don't think the Oilers do it either.
I think it's a 2-year bridge.
Yeah, I think
if yes, he's really feeling good, and he can do it 1 year, but there's no certainty there. Like, I think you're going to get a 2-year bridge.
I'm okay with that. I'd love to see a 4 or 5, but that's probably a big risk.
Yeah.
Speaking of deals, this week it was announced that the season ticket packages.
Anytime you lead in, I think you're going to say an ad.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a pause.
He was up all night working on it. Transfer.
But anytime you take over, you're like, you open up with something. What are we selling right now?
Yeah, I got to jump you all around. So it was announced this week that the season ticket holder package is up for renewal. There's been a couple of new developments, and I just kind of wanted to hear your guys' opinion on things. I'll list them off here. The first thing, of course, being that there was no increase in ticket prices for the first time ever that I can remember. There not being any increase there. Also, you're going to get a 15% discount on food and beverages. There's going to be monthly open practices. Individual game tickets will be available to you at season seat prices. Extended printed home privileges. Season seat tenure recognition program, whatever that means. Weekly arena tours and season seat holder experience draws. So I know that myself, I have quarter season seats. Rick, you have what, half?
Yeah, half
season. And Jay, you're in on some season seats as well. What do we think of the efforts of the Oilers here to try and keep the season seat holders around?
I've got two comments. Do we know if beverages extends to beer?
We don't.
I would assume no.
Been confirmed.
I think they would have been pretty clear on that. So I would like some clarity on that. I'm not going to jump to conclusions. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt and just assume right now it's all encompassing until told otherwise. And if I'm told otherwise, I'll be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Secondly, why wasn't this always the case? Open practices happen all the time across the league.
Oh yeah, I mean some of the I mean it makes
arena
me feel
tours
bad.
We should be doing. We got the best arena in the league, and yeah. We're not giving people like our season ticket holders tours of this.
Oh,
thing?
They should be showing it off 2-3 times a week.
That one was a weird one. That's like a new thing that they've just come up yeah. with that they haven't been doing all along, because this is supposed to be a gem of the city that we all paid for.
It's weird that they haven't done it before. But I like the fact that they're here
yeah.
now.
No, yeah,
and I don't expect them to say, you know, everything's half price or something stupid because of the last 10, 12, 50, whatever years. You can't go back and apologize for the past. What you can do is try and incentivize your season ticket right now, which they should have done before, but they're doing now. Mm-hmm. And forgetting the past, I like that list. I'm okay with that list. I mean, could you do a little bit more? For sure, but...
If it extends to booze, I think, I like it. Like, I just, yeah, I wish it, like, yeah, I'm going to forget the past. I got to stop shitting on it. But, I think if that is the offering, at least you feel some value and appreciated as a season ticket. Like, wow, I got to do a arena tour where, like, people who can't, like, you're providing a premium experience.
And the tickets at a cheaper price. I like that too.
Yeah, I don't know how much my opinion matters because I don't have money invested.
It doesn't matter. We can move on.
No, I'm the same with you guys. If I did have money and I'm like on the brink of leaving, I would probably stick around for these benefits.
At least another year. I mean, like I said, it's not going to go and erase the past, but I don't think you can do that as a business. What you can do is try and create a nicer future. And I think that's kind of what they're doing here. I've seen a lot of Twitter like, oh, that's not going to change. Like I said, you can't change that. Don't expect them to come out and try and apologize and give you shit because whatever. This is going forward, starting fresh. Yeah, I like it.
It's hilarious, though, because just looking at this list, there are three things that aren't labeled as new. Dedicated account coordinator, season seat holder, events, and 50% discount at the Oilers store. Are those the only three benefits that you guys got?
You used to get Oilers bucks, depending on the season, was a mm-hmm. perk. They also have.
They still hand those out this year.
They have like a lithograph thing.
They didn't hand it out the first year in Rogers because we got the jersey instead.
Right. Yeah. So there's always been like little perks above that, but those are the main ones.
Okay.
You get the discount. And then I don't even know. I didn't. My season seats are up high enough that we never had a dedicated season seat director or whatever.
Nobody called you? No. You didn't have one person you could refer to?
Not a specific person. We had a number to call, and then you get a call center kind of treatment, which is fine. Like,
I'm assuming
they're always
whoever
good,
answers
but,
that are the agents, if you will. Yeah. I don't think you get specific ones like 202 and 204.
Which is fine, yeah.
Ones, but there are 5, 10, whatever amount of people out there that are just there for season ticket holders.
Yeah. But yeah. So, as always, this podcast is brought to you by our friends. I didn't even have to do a segue there to the POG at thepogstore.com where they will give you all you need to be able to get rid of and attack all those nasty smells you're dealing with in your life. Whether it's on the go, like Chris and his nasty smelling car.
Thank you.
Or you're like me at home and your nasty smelling bathroom. I have replaced my fan in the unit that I rent, the ceiling fan, with a POG now. And the woman that lives upstairs has never been happier that she doesn't have to hear the sounds. It's the sounds that she's happy about. It's
the
not
sounds
the,
of the fan. It's not oh. the sounds not of the fan.
I took it this,
not
the other
not
kind of
the
sounds.
Others the other sounds. No. So yeah, if you want to check out what they have to offer, thepogstore.com or on Twitter and Instagram at thepogstore. So we've talked a lot of Oilers and that's been great, but there is still games going on. I don't know how many people at this table are watching it. I know Bag Milk just hates watching anything not Oilers, and I respect that.
Oh, 100%.
I flip in and out because I like to watch hockey. I'm not cheering for any teams right now. I'm still cheering against one specific team that ruined my life back in 2006, and I'll never forgive them for it. And I don't care.
Pistol right now.
I don't care what they do after a win in the regular season. I don't care. They can do the hokey pokey. I don't give a shit. Get them the fuck out right now. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna forgive a team who ripped my heart out just because they like to play basketball on the ice after a win. You have to do a hell of a lot more to win me back.
How about Evander Holyfield punching out one of your players?
No, I wish you did punch him. You should have hit him.
You're thinking about the logo on the chest and not the numbers on the back, because there's
only.
Who
do you only... play
for? What?
Who do you play for? Why do you think the Yankees don't have any number have any names on the back? Because you play for the name on the front. The name on the back means nothing.
You have to admire what Carolina's doing right now.
Oh.
They only have two players that were on the 2006 team, and one is their coach.
So?
And they're playing with like no skill on their roster. Half their roster is injured. Their backup goalie is playing right now, and they're up 3-0 in a series right now.
Their backup goalie used to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and a Calgary Flame. I hate him even more now.
Okay, fair, but it's still almost miraculous how successful they are right now. And
great,
the
miracle on ice or whatever. I hated that too.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're cheering for Russia?
Yeah, sure. Get the states. get the U.S. out.
I still haven't seen that stupid
movie. Cheering for Finland or Sweden.
Respect the Scandies.
The thing about the second round is though, all the entertaining team, most of the entertaining teams have been knocked out. So I'm just not really interested in watching.
I think
two underdogs
fighting
isn't as fun as watching one underdog beat a big guy.
But I correct. Think we have kind of the benefit of looking or not looking back in this one. And I do believe that most second rounds don't live up to the same hype as the first round, just because there's more teams, there's more storylines, there's four games a night. It's just a more amped
first
up
round's the
scenario.
Best, and there's yeah. fights in the first round.
Yeah, gluttonous, I love it.
But there has been a fair share of controversy.
Oh yeah,
Twitter has been up in arms about some things.
Arms.
Yeah.
It's got wings.
One of the things was everybody's favorite player to hate, Brad Marchand.
I love him more and more right now.
Punching the back of...
Punching's aggressive.
That was well, no, it was
punching is aggressive.
Hey, it was a punch. Tap.
That was not a punch.
The definition of a punch is an arm...
Extended
up,
blah, 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 blah. That was a love tap. That was nothing.
So was that a headshot then?
Yes.
God, please and get so off.
Yes? Oh, my God.
If you're going to call that, then they have to go back and go get Drew Doughty for elbowing Connor
McDavid
in the face.
Yeah, like a face wash is a headshot then.
I'm not saying it's a suspendable headshot, but the dude was, if it wasn't even in a
penalty, yes.
Do I agree that he should have done it? No. But is it
it's a
bad?
Dick,
no.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's a
I'm
dick
like,
move by a dick player. I love it.
It's so
playoffs, man.
I love it.
It's so cheeky, and Marchand knows how
perfect.
To ride the line better than anybody.
Exactly.
It was just, man. Like,
and stomping on the stick?
Oh, love
loved it.
It.
Yeah.
Loved
I
it. Love that stuff.
But the,
so good. That's
the
what the playoffs are.
I know. He's on his knees. Like, he's not doing anything, and Marchand just pops
That's
him.
Why you do
the
it.
The only thing I don't like about what he did is he did it and then skated
away,
right away.
That's what you have to
well,
do,
but
though.
In this,
no,
but in this
I know.
NHL,
that's,
can.
If
but
you
like,
do it and stay there, then what's the point of doing it?
Well,
you do it skate away, you piss off everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it happen. Now you skate away like, the refs don't
know. I know,
how
but
do
still,
it.
I like being, I like people who play accountable. And so just to kind of like,
the
fuck
thing
off
is
like
about
that, I was like,
Marchand.
I still love, like, I don't mind
it.
The act.
Bring that man in here right now.
And then you bring the story behind it. Marchand hadn't had a point in three games before that. So he's obviously pissed off. And then he does this, and it riled everybody up.
Look how they did last night.
Exactly. So, I mean...
That's the type of player you want on your team. That's the type of player we don't have.
My concern is, what if Tom Wilson did that?
I'm still the same way.
I love Tom Wilson, trust me, but like...
If I'm going to sit here and say I like it out of one, I have to like it out of all. Now, that punch was probably borderline on how hard you have to do it to get away without having too much...
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
Do you think the NHL should have not suspended him, but like just reached out to him or something? Instead of handling
it. We don't know if
internally.
They did or didn't, but
well,
he knows damn well.
We do know that they reviewed it and they didn't give him any...
It's not suspendable.
Any retribution, but they did say that the Bruins were going to deal with it internally.
Yeah, sure.
That was,
yeah, probably
so that was
throwing him a party.
But so, I think this is it just comes... It always comes back to it, and I know because I run Hockey Fights that it is just my narrative, but do you guys think that... In a world in the 90s when Marchand just gets grabbed by another dude and dropped in a fight, that this conversation of does the league need to suspend him never happens?
Well, Marchand wouldn't have done it unless he didn't expect a fight after. If this
he
is would the
90s. Have. Yeah. He would have just sort of got dropped a couple shifts later. He got away. Well done. He got away. Everybody was already paired up. You can't really extend that scrum any further.
Well,
but somebody be looking for him later on.
That's why I think he skated away, because he knew that he can't get engaged with if he's
no. He's smart.
Ice.
He knows what he's doing. Sometimes he crosses the line. I agree with you. But look at some of our favorite players. Like, I wore a number 10 when I was a kid growing up because there's Esa Tiikkanen's number. I love Tiikkanen. Tiikkanen did that shit all the time. He'd sit there, yap at you. Man, that's the way hockey's supposed to be played.
Well, and speaking of Tiikkanen too, because it was interesting for me because the outrage, and I know it's because Brad Marchand's name is attached to it. The outrage Twitter was outrage. Huge on
oh,
Twitter.
God, Twitter outrage.
And then the next night, Brock Nelson... right after Josh Bailey scored his goal to tie the game 1-1,
the head tap.
He escapes by Curtis McElhinney and gives him a little tap on the
perfect.
Head.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
You
and
don't
then,
like it?
And then you
beat
know,
him. They beat him.
You know who he had to face? Dougie Hamilton goes in for the little like collision there and then kind of shits his pants a bit and like kind of pulls away. Oh, that guy.
And I think that was actually maybe Dougie kind of saw him, but I think the Islander guy, he did his thing, head down, took a tight turn around the net. And now, dude's right here. Oh, shit. And they kind of run into each other. Well, you're going to defend yourself a little bit.
I love it.
Canes are acting the right way. They won the game. That's the ultimate. Yeah.
It was
you
Letty,
don't like
right?
it. Just beat the other team.
But I love the move.
The thing I didn't, I loved
it's
how
like
Chicky
when Smitty,
was.
What did Smitty do to Jaguar to
Jaguar, I think he just stood in front of him.
Yeah, that was good.
But I mean, you're also down 2-0 in the series at that point.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not, I don't think you have the.
You didn't take a penalty.
No, I know.
What
you,
if you
I don't think
the,
he has the right to be off, that cheeky because...
What if he pissed off the goalie like Smitty did Jaguar?
Yeah.
Jaguar went nuts
yeah,
after.
What if that isn't Dougie Hamilton? What if that is someone else and they go and take a penalty on... What, Letty, you said?
Yeah.
Well, then that's the win.
Nelson.
Oh, Nelson. Exactly. But I think I would have loved it so much more if the Islanders were up 2-0 in the series and then he gets cocky and cheeky and taps the goalie on the helmet.
But you're
like,
down.
I don't think he
you're
no,
down.
No,
you're
I,
trying
I think
to get
you
the other
do,
team's
you,
head.
You do it. It's better. It looks better if you do it when you're down than when you're up.
Yeah,
and
you do it when
you're
up.
It's arrogant. When you're down, you're trying to...
It's gamesmanship.
Yeah, it's you're trying to fire up the other side.
They lost anyways and
you
got embarrassed.
You don't
so,
like
Carolina,
it,
so Carolina wins.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's exactly the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
This eye for an eye. You got to suspend this guy. You got to get this guy's got to take a... He's got to get a retribution somehow. Beat him.
Yeah.
Don't let him do it to you. Do something back. Don't sit here and expect the fucking upper office to suspend and hand out penalties that way. Deal with it on the ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's supposed to be dealt with.
But I mean, this NHL, it's...
It's not the NHL, it's society now.
No,
everybody
it's
has to be like, this is the worst thing in the world. We
but
say
then,
there's no bullying. We say everything's so bad about bullying. Now look at Twitter going after Marchand. They're bullying the hell out of him.
But then you see last night, so we've had this kind of faux rage, and then we've had the no rage and all that
faux
kind
rage.
Of thing. And then last night,
the
Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, they bounced
the
puck off the netting. The referees missed it. All four referees conferenced afterwards and said they didn't get it.
And nobody started tweeting out how bad this is, and these refs should not be into next season.
I wanted to take you out of task on that one, Rick.
Okay, yeah,
because you brought up the fact that nobody was upset about that
directly.
I don't know. I
led to a goal. Las Vegas did not directly lead to a goal, and if we say it did, then the Oilers' power play last year was penalty kill was perfect because the only ones that we let in was because of the ref, and if you didn't make the call, we wouldn't let the puck in.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. And we talked about it a little ad nauseum last week, but without you, because perfect.
Oh, I wish you'd have been here.
We were hyping that up in our own chat there, getting ready to go. But I think the situation's very different. It's not a game seven. It's not. With minutes left to go in the game,
then it shouldn't be. You can't do that though.
Can someone explain to me what happened? I didn't.
Okay, so the puck goes.
The
puck goes into the netting.
Over the glass. Hit the net.
Hits.
Comes back down.
Hits the edge of
the
netting.
Quick pass. Scores a goal.
Columbus scored.
The Bruins had stopped playing. Some of them had stopped playing.
Yeah.
And they were looking for. They were looking for the calls. You know, putting their hands.
And then the refs reviewed it and they allowed the goal.
No, you can't review it.
Sorry. The refs.
So
the refs
let the play keep going. Hit the net. Very obvious. I mean, if you're on the ice, it's probably not as obvious. I get why they didn't miss it. The fact they always get it blows my mind.
Yeah.
So it hits the net, comes down, Columbus gets the puck, makes one pass, scores the goal.
And then the goal counted?
Yep.
Okay. The goal counted because the four referees convened and none of them had seen it, so they couldn't. There's nothing
or
to do about it.
They convened and said, okay, now, because it got put out, it got tweeted out, like the rule book, and said, now, so it's already in the rule book. If it it counts... Or sorry, you can review it if it goes off the net, directly in the net, or off the goalie and in the net, or off the net and the player that put it off the net gets the puck back and then scores. Now, those are two times you can review a goal to see if it hit the net.
But they
Because it didn't. Because it hit the... So it was shot by player X, hit the net, came back to X, X passed to Y, Y scored. That is not reviewable.
Because it didn't go directly in. So you're saying that they couldn't review it because...
They can't review it because there's only two times you can review puck off the netting. And that's one, off the net directly in or off the goalie and in. Or two, X net, X goal.
But still, the refs didn't know it even left the rink.
We don't know that because they got in their talk and they could have said, well, I think it did. I think it did. We should review it. Wait, no. These are the only two times you can review this. We can't review
it.
But
if a ref thinks he saw it go and hit the net, wouldn't that just kill it right there?
No, because you think. So then you're like,
yeah, they got it.
Let's review it. Okay, I think it may have. So let's review it to double check.
And I think that was my...
You can't review it.
Well, that was my takeaway from the whole the Golden Knights situation too, is that the refs need to be able to use video review as a tool to help them get the calls right if they're not sure.
Yeah, see, that 5 minute match penalty was, I think he cross checked him in the head.
No, it's a horrible call. I get it. And you know why we're in that spot? Because the NHL is so soft right now. If someone goes down like that, you assume there's a massive issue and you have to call it. If it was an actual cross check and the ref didn't call it, he'd be screwed just as bad.
Unlike the Asa Lindell play.
Oh my God.
Good.
Oh my God.
I loved it.
The first was an actual call. The second one, he put his stick on and pushed him just to see if he's going to do it again. He flopped.
I didn't know there was two separate incidents.
No,
I saw the one.
Yeah, cross checks the first one. He goes down.
Oh my God.
So that should have been called.
So I'll set the play for everybody.
Pushed him.
So Robert Bertuzzo and Esa Lindell were engaged in a puck battle behind the net. Bertuzzo cross checks Lindell, and
like
Lindell
you see
goes down
all the time.
Bertuzzo then cross checks Lindell again.
No, the second one wasn't a cross check.
Okay,
he was seeing if he was
going to
do
him
it again.
With his stick.
He pushes him.
Lindell
with his
flops down and gets up. Looking around, they're both looking around for a call at this point. Bertuzzo then again
that
puts
was the
stick
hands
on
to
him.
The chest push, and then he dove back like he's playing soccer.
And he dove back, and then the whistle gets blown because there's a penalty coming, and Bertuzzo then gives him a chop to the face or towards the face region, which then puts down Lindell again. So then, as Jay alluded,
karma.
Later on in the game,
karma.
The game is tied with about 2.5 minutes left to go. Maroon is in front of the net. Gives Lindell a shove like you see probably 40, 50 times a game.
Yeah.
Lindell goes down
again
with the shove, and Maroon is left in front of the net by himself.
The
referee's looking at the
hell
referee's
of a
looking
shot.
At
hell
the whole
of a
play.
Shot. Hell of a shot. Missed the
and
big
snipes a corner shot there. So yes, so people were saying that there was a lot of karma on that play.
So
Chris, you
good.
Were saying you loved it?
Like if you're gonna dive like that, I'm sure he assumed he was getting a penalty. But I just thought it was hilarious.
Fishing for the penalty,
he
yeah.
dived three times in a row, and that's almost just being cheeky and like trolling him. Sure, he made the ref look like an idiot, and
the ref honestly. So the first one should have been called. If you don't call that, yep. Call the second one. Both.
Yep.
Oh yeah, and no, the ref played it well. He gave both.
And I think it was Carey Fraser that said it. Anybody who's embellishing should get extra two.
Yeah,
should
so
be 4 minutes
so
for embellishing.
Down. I'd be fine.
You're honestly the integrity of the whole entire league you're pulling through right now.
The
Whereas
thing
the
is,
other, the
though,
other penalty is just, yeah, it's just a fight for the puck.
But the referee did do the perfect thing on the goal. If it was anybody else other than Lindell, he probably calls that a penalty.
I don't think he could call that a penalty.
He might. You have the argument there, but you know that the referee saw it was Lindell and was like, well, you live by that sword, you die by that sword.
He like in the NFL and football, yeah, that's a push off. You're going to get pass interference. The NHL, there's not a penalty. There's nothing in the book that says you can't do that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I think that's going to do it for another edition of the ON Radio Podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sherwood Ford, The Giant, and The Pog Store. Thank Laurel for the hot new hit. And shout out to Damien.
Best wishes.
Best wishes? Welcome, team.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.